time to chat many things with the head coach. Seems like each week, despite it being the off season, many subjects to discuss. You can follow on Twitter. Use the handle at GoDucksKG. Kelly Graves joins us. So, Coach, first of all, are you like in witness protection? I mean, where are you as we speak?
Well, I'm sitting in a parking lot in Burns, Oregon, and I didn't want to get too far away from here because I don't know that service was spotty on my drive. I had a barbecue, one of those pellet barbecues, brand new, and a good buddy of mine from Boise decided to meet me halfway. I was up in Black Butte, and so I went through Bend and headed east here. I've never been on this highway. It was very scenic, and now I can say I've been in Burns, Oregon.
All right. I believe that's the home of former Duck quarterback Kellen Clemens. So you're
would be correct.
Yes. You're in good company, Coach. So now, from the conference, the governor of Oregon, a lot of talk about, I guess, reintroducing student athletes to campus, using the facilities. So where are we at? I mean, when do you expect some of your players and obviously some first-timers to be able to get to work here in Eugene?
Well, as you know, everything's day-to-day, you know, so whatever we have in store today might change tomorrow, but as of now, it looks like we are trying to get our student-athletes on campus on July 12th. They would then have to be isolated for a week, and then the second summer session starts that following week, and so we would be ready, and we're eager to get working with our players. I think right now in what would be hopefully phase two by then, our phase two, we're different than what the state's doing or the county's doing right now. I think we would be able to work with our players in small groups, you know, the same cohorts with which they might be living, and proceed that way. But the good thing is we'll be with them. We're going to be in a gym. We'll have basketballs. There's still obviously some things that we have to do. I'll have to be coaching in a mask, et cetera, et cetera. We got to really watch ourselves, but we're going to be with the team. So as of now, big guy, that's the plan, and we're really excited because that's only, about a month away.
Yeah, and what we would all give for the sound of a ball going through a hoop and the squeak of a sneaker, I'll tell you that.
Oh, right.
You know,
funny you say that. My coach used to say, he said, you can tell what kind of a great game is being played. You can go into a gym and just close your eyes. And if you hear a lot of talking, a lot of net swishing, a lot of sneakers, I said, then you know it's a well-played game. You don't need to watch it. You can tell.
That's brilliant.
So, you're right.
So you had a team call recently beyond players and assistants. You were joined by Dr. Julie Shaw, who's been a head coach and, of course, an assistant for you at Gonzaga. She's got a remarkable resume. So how cool was it to have her as part of such an important discussion with all that's happening in the country right now?
Oh, she is phenomenal. Yeah, she went back, got her doctorate. She's worked with a couple NBA teams, so she now is kind of a psychologist, but more than anything, she's a team builder. And we had a great discussion, and we talked about the things that we can do as a program, and we are already doing some. She challenged us, and we're going to respond. We're a diverse group. We truly are. When you think of, Angela, who's Serbian, she's actually back in Serbia as we speak. You know, we've got a German and an Aussie, and we've got players from all socioeconomic backgrounds in the country. You know, we have rural kids and city kids and on and on. We don't have a lot of racial diversity. And that obviously is what's in the news right now, and it should be. And so we just talked through all of that, and she gave and just facilitated the conversation. Mignon was back with us, Satu back with us, and those two have been very outspoken, and I appreciate all of their input. And it was great, man. I'm telling you, it was good that our players had some space. They were able to talk about it. Us coaches, too, just talked about things that we can do to, in this Black Lives Matter movement, and just, you know, to love, you know, our student athletes of color. So, and be there for them. So anyway, it was a great discussion. And really, really appreciated the time that she spent with us that day.
Talking with Coach Graves, you know, you mentioned a trio of your former players. I mean, even though it was a couple months ago, Mignon and Satu Sabali and Sabrina. I mean, even yep. now that they're obviously focused on the next chapter of their lives, how much does that mean that they were so willing to, you know, still represent and be a part of the conversation? And I guess in essence, you know, be there for a lot of the younger Ducks.
Oh, invaluable, because obviously all these young Ducks look up to them, even though they didn't get a chance to play with them. You know, Mignon and Satu. Well, and Sabrina too. Sabrina wasn't on there the whole call, but Mignon and Satu, you know, they're so outspoken, number one, and incredibly intelligent in the discussion, and it was eye opening in a lot of ways. And I have, you know, even though we have a close relationship, you know, we haven't really discussed a lot of this topic very much. And so anyway, they were they're very honest. Forthright, to the point, and listen, we're gonna make a point to be one of the leading programs in the country in terms of you know, in this movement. We're gonna be active. We're gonna do the things that you know, that are right for our society and our, you know, African American teammates and student athletes at Oregon, and we're gonna try and make a difference for the Black community everywhere.
Let's get to one of your new faces, which it feels like another week, another edition. This time it's Ariel Wilson, a 6'6 frontliner. I got to see some film. She's described as a stretch four. What could you tell us about her game and the kind of contributor she might be?
Well, she's got a ton of upside. So, you know, we were looking for one more player because, you know, it's still with this COVID-19, we're still up in the air in terms of like our practice players and things like that. You know, they might try to limit our circle greatly. And so I was looking with Taylor Mikesell, maybe, you know, if she doesn't get her waiver granted, then, you know, we might be down to like 11 players. And when you're on the road and there's always somebody that might be, you know, a sprained ankle or might be hurt in some way, it was just without practice guys, like, man, we might need another body. And so, you know, we looked in the portal and, you know, we just, I kind of called a couple of buddies of mine, recruiting and said, hey, is there somebody out there that has some potential, you know, good kid, good student, hard worker, and Ariel's name came up, from a couple of them. And so we just started the recruitment a couple of weeks ago and she's great. She's awesome, man. I was kidding with her the other night when we were talking. Her dad works for FedEx, and her mom is a school teacher. You know, and she's a great student. And I said, and I bet you're always on time, too, aren't you? Because that's important in our program, because when your dad works for FedEx, I'm sure you work on a pretty tight time schedule. And so anyway, we're really excited to have her. I think she's got, you know, a huge upside. She's going to be 6'6 all game long. We have a lot of good, tall players. And so she's going to be great for practice. We'll give us some depth there. And who knows? Let's see if she'll develop. But she hasn't played much. She's been at a junior college for 2 years down in Texas. So, you know, she's got some work to do.
You took part in something interesting late last week, the National Association of Basketball Coaches. You had a webinar along with a guy who's coached in New England for a long time, Bill Cohen of Northeastern. So I'm kind of curious, your role, I mean, what did you focus on? What kind of experience was that?
Oh, it was great. I've been on several this, you know, the last couple of months, and this was a big one. I think they get 40 to 50,000 coaches that hop on this deal, and we talk offense, Steve. You know, when you have the most efficient offense in the country, that's what people want to know. So we go through a lot of offense. I talk about the drills and actually show them a lot of the drills that we run that help make us the best passing team in the country, you know, the best shooting team in the country. So I talk a lot of shooting drills and things like that. Coaches are junkies, man. They want more than just offense. They want drills. And we had a lot of questions and answers too. So it was a lot of fun. I love giving back to the game. I think it's really important. And let's face it, you know, our points per 100 possessions last year, 123.5. Historically good. The best men's team was Gonzaga this year at 118, and the best NBA team was 113, and that was the Dallas Mavericks. So we're 10 points more efficient per 100 possessions than the Dallas Mavericks. So people want to know why. People want to know why, and obviously we have great players, but we also keep them organized, and it's fun. I think people really respect what we're doing at Oregon.
No, I love it, and I live for metrics and stuff like that. One final thought.
Well, here, I've got one for you then, big guy. So we lead the nation this last year in scoring, right? 86 points a game. Did you know we were only 251st out of 351 in pace of play? So possessions per game. So that's your statistical anomaly of the year right there.
That
people
is,
think you score 86 a night, you're just rolling the balls out and running and gunning. But the reality is we do not play at a high, fast-paced game. You know, we're just efficient when we play.
No, that's, like I was going to say, that's lethal efficiency. All right, one final question for Coach so we can let him get back on the road and back to civilization. I'm impressed. I'm seeing a lot of coaches who normally play it safe or say nothing, especially Will Muschamp of South Carolina, Jeremy Pruitt of Tennessee. You know, they're in the Deep South who are either marching or speaking in a tone that you know is not going to sit well with some fans and boosters. So a simple question, I mean, what kind of hope does that give you that all of this is actually going to make a difference and change is going to come?
I am so confident that this is the time. I just think I've seen more resolve. And, you and I are roughly the same generation. And we've seen a lot of, different events that have mobilized people, brought them together. But this is different. This seems different, and I just hope that this is the time where we really make great strides socially in this country and make it so, I don't really have the words. I'm not eloquent. That's why I've been a little light on social media. I've come out and said a few things, but I like to retweet, people who are far more eloquent than I am about it and knowledgeable. But I'm going to do my part, man. I'm telling you, Oregon women's basketball has been called, and we're going to respond to the challenge, man. I'm telling you, we're going to do our part to make this world a better place for everybody, for everybody.
All right. Well, like I said, reasons for optimism, something to hold on to and work for. Folks, he is the head basketball coach for the University of Oregon Women's Program. He's in Burns. We appreciate his time. We wish you continued safe travels back to where you're headed. Thanks so much for the time, Coach. Be well, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you so much. See you, Steve.
All right. Take it easy.